turn with me to hymnals, hymn number 378, hymn number 378, Under His Wings. Let's stand together as we sing. Hymn number
Please turn to Psalm 32 for the scripture reading this morning. Psalm 32. And we'll read the entire psalm. Psalm 32, please. Beginning on verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayst be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Join me in the last verse, please. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of coming to you with our concerns. And Lord, that you died for us on the cross and took our sins, and Lord, made us pure before the Father. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us and granting us such a great gift. Lord, we pray that you would be with us today as pastor ministers from this passage. Strengthen us, Lord, help us to share this news with others. And I pray, Lord, for Holy Spirit power upon our preacher as he ministers to us. Lord, strengthen us, revive us, and Lord, remind us of that blessed hope that someday we will be with you in heaven. In your precious name we ask. Amen. Please be seated, and we have the ladies' trio at this time.
let's do it again. Amen. Come on back up. Bibles this morning, please turn to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32 this morning. The Lord just burdened my heart this morning to preach this message. I just leaned over to Dr. Galacki and changed the scripture at the last minute. But I don't know why. I just feel like this is the passage the Lord had me to preach. You know, that song blessed my heart this morning. The last 4 weeks in a row, I've been to funerals. Just funeral after funeral. And first was a 95-year-old gentleman, Mr. Van Hardingsveld, who had trusted the Lord all his life and went off to his reward. The next week was a 3-year-old, little precious little angel, you know, that was taken much too soon in a car accident. And we learned much from her life already. And then the following week was a 23-year-old young man who overdosed on drugs. And you might hear me say that every week because I don't want our young people messed up with that nonsense. That's just foolishness. And young people, it'll take your life. You get mixed up in that stuff. And then, of course, this week, Brother Dick Durant, who had fought Alzheimer's for the last several years of his life and was just the shell of the man that he was. And on, what day was it, Brother? Tuesday. I guess Brother Walsh and I went to do some visiting. And we swung around the hospital and we went in and I could see right away that it wouldn't be long. And Dick fell asleep somewhere between "How Great Thou Art" and "It Is Well With My Soul." That's a good place to go. And the music was playing in the room, and he went off into eternity. And, you know, heaven's just filling up. And I said this at the graveside, and I don't mean it to be profound or anything like that. And really, if we think about it, none of them have, if they knew the Lord, at least I know three did, if they knew the Lord, they really didn't die. They just beat us home. That's all. They just beat us home. And you know, what's that old song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be? The home of the pure and the free. Sweet haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. No, I hope you're saved today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off another moment. You don't know if you'll leave this place and the Lord will require your life. There was a story in the New Testament of a man who thought he would tear down his old barns and put up some new ones. And that night, the Lord took his life. He was in his prime. He was prosperous. And the Lord, it seemed, was allowing him time to make things right with him. And he never did. And that night, he found himself apart from the Lord for eternity. There's another story in the Bible, the rich man and Lazarus. And the Lazarus just sat at the gate of this man's mansion and he just tried to get some crumbs and to beg some food from whoever would come through those gates. And the same night they both died, the Bible says. And the Bible says the rich man, who had everything in this life, lifted up his eyes in hell. And he said, would you send Lazarus, that dirty old beggar that I wouldn't talk to or touch or help in even one way, would you send him to dip the tip of his finger in water and give me a little drink? But there was a great gulf of fixed, so they could not come and go. And finally he said, would you take that Lazarus to go and preach to my brothers, for I'm in torments in this flame. I don't want them to come here. Heaven and hell are real, friend. And this morning as we listened to that song, it was almost like we could reach out and touch heaven, wasn't it? It just seemed so real. What a great song. Appreciate that so much. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to know Him today. The Bible very simply says this. People say, well, we can't understand the King James Bible anymore. These are all one syllable words. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's just that simple. Either you have Jesus or you don't. Somebody might say, well, I just don't know if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know you're married, don't you? It's a relationship that you're in. It's not something that you just pray a prayer or make a decision, friend. It is a lifelong relationship. It's having Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life. And you say, well, how do I know for sure that I do? Because the Bible says the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit that you're alive, that He's there. That you have Jesus Christ. You know, when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, things become so simple. Your eyes become open and the veil becomes lifted and the glass becomes clear. As we know that we have Jesus Christ, we can sing songs like, He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I'm His own. One of my favorites is a little Southern gospel ditty. It says, don't try to tell me that God is dead. I just talked to Him this morning. It just should be that simple. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. It ought to just be that simple. In a couple of weeks, we'll celebrate that resurrection, won't we? And we'll sing again, He lives, He lives. And many of you today that maybe don't go to church very often, we all try to go out at Christmas and Easter. Maybe there's some at home watching today and they say, well, you know, I try to make it to church at Easter and I try to make it at Christmas. Friends, listen, Jesus Christ isn't just alive on Easter Sunday. He lives, He lives. And you might come into the church and you might sit in the pew and you might sing that hymn of old. But let me ask you, friends, do you believe it? Is He in your heart? When the question of the song repeats itself and says, you ask me how I know He lives. Can you honestly answer, He lives within my heart? Are you saved today? Do you know Jesus Christ? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Psalm chapter 32 talks about those who are. Can you count yourself in that number today? As we read these scriptures, I want you to ask yourself these questions in your heart. And when the Holy Spirit of God sweeps by your pew, and no doubt He will today, would you just let Him in? Would you allow Him to speak to you? So many times we grip our pews and we push Him away and we resist the Holy One. But friends, would you let Him in and let Him speak to your heart? And I will promise you this. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force you to do anything you do not wish to do. He will speak to you gently. He'll convict your heart of sin. He will try to show you the path of light and righteousness. But if at the end of the service you still choose to say no, that is your prerogative. But I want you to say no knowing this. To reject Christ is to reject salvation. To reject salvation is to reject heaven and all those things we've been singing about this morning. But to know Him is to know life eternal. I preached at Brother Durant's funeral, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You know, there's something special about knowing Jesus Christ. Not only does He come into our lives and gives us that, fills that void that we so long carried with us, but He also provides that fellowship and that relationship, but He provides heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. They all doubted that. They said, how can we know the way? He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ loves you very much, and He died on a cross to pay for the price for your sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why He came. So many people think that He came to mess up their lives and to try to rule them and reign in their lives and change them all. Listen, friends, He will rule your life and He will reign in your life, but He only wants what's best for you. He only gives good unto His children. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. There's four things we are blessed by in the first two verses. The word blessed, in case you didn't know, the word blessed means to have spiritual joy. Spiritual joy. In Matthew chapter 5, we see what we call the Beatitudes. And we see everyone starts blessed. Blessed. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed. That means they will have spiritual joy. If they will follow those prescriptions and those little proverbs that Jesus quoted in Matthew chapter 5, if we will just read those and apply them to our lives, we can have spiritual joy. You know, spiritual joy is something that the world cannot give us. Spiritual joy is something that the world can't take away. Spiritual joy is something that comes from high. It's something that comes from Jesus Christ living in your life and the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you and being filled with Him. But you won't have it unless you let Him in. The Bible says, blessed is he. Here's the first thing, whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. How many of you today, don't raise your hand, maybe just shout amen. How many of you today are glad that your sins are forgiven? The old song says, you ask me why I'm happy. So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Some of the best songs we sing are the ones that are just so simple. You ask me why I'm happy. I'll tell you why. My sins are gone. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Do you know that the Bible is very plain and very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And for the wages of sin is death. In other words, sin cannot find its way into heaven. Now, let me ask you, how many of you would want to go to a heaven where there's sin? Do you know that sin takes control? And sin spirals out of control? And sin just only gets greater and greater and greater and greater. How many of you folks that are, how do I say this kindly, born before 1940, how many of you folks ever thought that in Canada we would be practicing abortion like we are today? But sin takes hold and it takes control. Not only did they start with abortion early in pregnancy, now they have third trimester and they have partial birth, and now in the States they're talking about post-birth murder. All of it. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but the proper word for the abortion is not abortion at all. Did you know that? A preacher friend of mine told me that his wife had a miscarriage, and when he picked up the chart that was on the end of the bed, he looked at this chart and it said right on there that she had an abortion. And he quickly went to the doctor and he said, doctor, I want you to know something. He said, on the chart they made a mistake and they put the word abortion. I don't want nurses picking up the chart and people picking up that chart and thinking that we came in here to have an abortion. He says, it says abortion on her chart. And the doctor says, no, you've got it wrong. An abortion is any time the body delivers the baby prematurely and the baby dies. He says it could be because of sickness or a miscarriage or what have you. It could be because of an accident. But any way that the baby is taken from the mother early and the baby does not survive, that is called an abortion. He says the words you're thinking of is aborticide. He says the proper word for when a doctor goes in and takes out a healthy baby or kills a healthy baby within the mother's womb, that is called aborticide. That's the right word. He says, but nobody wants to use that word because it sounds too much like homicide and suicide. You see, sin is subtle, isn't it? And it takes control of the life. But the Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. We can have that spiritual joy within our lives if our sins have been forgiven. And friends, the only way to have your sins forgiven is to come to Jesus Christ and confess your sin. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse 5 of chapter 32. The Bible says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my heart. Selah. Now, you know that word Selah, do you know what it means? It's sort of like an amen, but it's a little pause in Scripture. It's a moment that you're supposed to pause and reflect. Now, when David wrote this, I kind of wonder if he said verse 5 and he wrote these words, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. And perhaps as tears were falling on the parchment and his hand was shaken, he says, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. And Selah, he had to pause for a minute to shout. He had to pause for a minute to do a little dance of joy. He had to pause for a second to get excited because his sins were gone. Because he went to the Lord and God forgave him. You know, there's so many times we visit folks and they'll say, well, the Lord can't forgive me. The Lord, I've just done so much wicked in my life. The Lord cannot forgive me. Do you know who penned these words? An adulterer and a murderer. A man who looked on another's wife and the Bible says he took her into his bed. Now, I don't know the circumstances. The Scripture is very kind, but when you take a woman, it sounds like rape. I don't know if she was a willing participant or not, but she was subject unto the king. And then he killed her husband to cover it up so he could take her as a wife and nobody would know that the child was conceived before they were married. That's who wrote these words. That's the character of a man who wrote, I went to the Lord and I didn't hide my iniquity from Him and I confessed my transgressions. I took my sins to God and He forgave me. And if you'll read on in the Scriptures, you'll find that David had a lot of joy in his life. Not because of the weight of the sin that he carried, but because the weight was gone, because Jesus Christ had forgiven him, because his transgression is forgiven. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Then the Bible said, whose sin is covered. Not only was he blessed, not only did he have spiritual joy because his sins were forgiven, but because they were also covered. They were hidden from God. Now, I don't know about you, but That sounds like an amazing thing to be able to hide something from God. You know, when I was a kid, I kind of liked watching that Superman movie. You know, the one with Christopher Reeve and, you know. And what I remember about that was he didn't like kryptonite. You remember that? Miss Britton used to watch that, right? They show that in India? No. Superman didn't like kryptonite. It was his... It caused him to become weak. And I think, a matter of fact, I think it might even make him die after a while. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But that villain, I can't remember his name. Miss Britton, what was his name? There was a villain in the show, and he took that kryptonite and he put it in some sort in a box, and it was made of something. I don't remember what it was. But it was made of lead or iron or something that Superman couldn't see through with his X-ray vision. And so he wouldn't know that it was coming. You know, I got thinking about that. You know, It's like Jesus puts our sins in that box and God can't even look in at it. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. Do you know why it says that and not north from south? Because when you get to the north, you're going south again. When you get to the south, you're going north again. But if you start here and you start going east, you'll always go east. There's no pole. It just keeps going and going. And if you decide, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go west, it just keeps going and going. And you can go west forever and never stop. That's how far our sins have been removed. If there are some things in the Bible that God cannot do, God cannot lie. We know that. He's not a man that He can lie. But He cannot see our sin when it has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, in your scriptures with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You know, the Bible says that when the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging upon the cross of Calvary, He cried out, my Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Here's why, right here. Because of all my sin was placed on Him. God could not look upon me in my sin. And He could not look at His Son when He carried the sins of the world. But the Bible says He was made sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. One day, because of what Jesus Christ did, and because of the faith that I put in Him, I will stand before God, and He won't look at my sin, but He'll look at the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I've been covered by the blood. He can't see the filth. He can't see the transgression and the mess that was my life. All He sees is that Jesus Christ shed His blood and He covered me so I can stand before Him in righteousness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That ought to give you some spiritual joy today. It ought to give you some joy in knowing that your transgressions are forgiven. It ought to give you some joy today to know that God cannot see your sin any longer. Then the Bible says in verse 2, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That word imputeth means to transfer. To hold to your account. No longer is sin held to your account. Years ago, when my wife and I first got married, she had to have her wisdom teeth out. And she didn't have any money. She couldn't afford it. And so she paid for as much as she could. And she had to put $300 of it on her Visa card. And so that's why we moved the wedding up 4 months, is so I could pay her Visa. I'm sure of it. But we got this. So I got married, and as soon as we got married, and I got the ring on her finger, and we got in the car, she pulled out all her bills. That happened to you, Brother Glacky? No? Oh, you got a good one. Amen. And so we started looking at these bills. Well, that wasn't too bad. It was $300 on a Visa. We could take care of that after a little bit. So we went to pay that bill one day. And do you remember what happened, hon? We got a statement that it was paid. That bill got paid. And the company was in Atlanta, Georgia. I remember that. And so we called down to Atlanta, Georgia, and said, "Listen, somebody paid this bill. It's been applied incorrectly. There's been a mistake. I think there was even money on the card that we could go out and spend for free. $100 and some odd. So we called them and said, "You made some mistake. Somebody else made a payment of $400 and some, and you put it on our credit card." And I said, "We've got a plus balance here of $100 and some odd. And they said, "Well, we don't know. Well, we'll check into it, of course." And they started tracing it. We never heard from them again. Now, I don't believe we ever spent the money, did we? I don't think we ever did, because it wasn't our money. But we don't know what happened there. Somebody paid our bill. How many of you would like to get a bill in the mail that just says zero? How about the first bill that comes in January, right after Christmas? Wouldn't that be nice? That happened. We didn't know who did it. We said, well, I said, well, maybe some of you. And she says, no, because if they were going to do that. Or I said, maybe your mom and dad. She said, well, they would know how much to pay. They would pay extra. And we couldn't figure it out. We called her parents. No, they didn't pay it. And we didn't know what to do. We tried to tell Visa. They didn't want the money back. I mean, have you ever heard of a bank that doesn't want their money? But what a blessing. Do you know that's what God does for you? One day, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, the books will be opened. And I have a feeling that old accuser is going to be standing around and saying, yeah, look at that. Look at all their sin. And he's just going to hold up a blank book. Paid by the blood of Jesus. Covered. Forgiven. Oh, but they've sinned since they got saved. Yes, but they confessed their sin. And I'm not going to impute it to them any longer. Isn't that a blessing? Man, if you just get saved today, you can have that too. If you'll just trust Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about sinning. Does it mean we're perfect? No, we're still sinners. We still have to go to the Lord and we still have to get forgiveness. But He doesn't impute it to us any longer. Once we're saved, He cleanses us and washes us. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And look at this last one. And in whose spirit there is no guile. That's kind of an odd one, the way it's fit in there, isn't it? You remember Nathanael in the New Testament? It was said that he had no guile. That means he had no deceptive qualities. You know what it means here? It means there's a lot of people running around saying, yes, I'm happy. And they'll sing the songs of the church and they'll pretend that they're blessed. But yet they're trying to deceive the Lord. They have guile in their hearts. Let me say this, friends. You can put on a suit and a tie and a nice dress and you can go to church every Sunday and you can fool everybody in this room. But you'll never fool the Lord. This is talking about the man that says, I'm sick of trying to fool everybody. I'm sick of trying to put on a show. I'm tired of trying to show the Lord how good I am by doing good works. I'm sick of showing the Lord how good I am by being religious and going to church. I'm sick of showing the Lord how good I am by putting money in the offering plate and giving to charity and walking old ladies across the street. I'm tired of the deception. I'm just going to trust Christ. I'm going to give up the guile. I'm going to believe what Jesus did was sufficient to pay the price for my sin. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity and in whose spirit there is no guile. Do you know the only thing that will cover up a lie is another lie? You can't make a lie right by telling the truth unless you go back and unravel the lie. And that's what this fella did. David said, I got sick of trying to hide it. I tried to cover it up. I took Bathsheba and I committed adultery. And when I found she was with child, I couldn't hide it from her husband. So I sent him into the hottest part of the battle. But you'll remember before he ever did that, he tried to cover it up, didn't he? He brought Uriah home and he said, Uriah, you've been such a good soldier. You've brought me such a good report of the war. Why don't you go home and spend a night with your wife? And he thought that through the natural course of things that he would just think it's his child. But Uriah was a man of loyalty and a man of honor. And so he slept at the king's gate. He said, I will not go home in a night of comfort when my men are out in the field fighting the battle. That lie didn't work. So David finally put him into the hottest part of the battle. And when the battle raged on, the army withdrew and left him there to die. David said, I'm tired. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer, Selah. He says, I felt like an old man. I was aching and I was paining. And he says, day and night your hand was upon... He just felt like everywhere I went, Lord, you were looking at me. Every time I turned around, I felt like I was going to get caught. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like your parents maybe... How many of you remember when you were young? You remember back then? You're doing something you know maybe you shouldn't have been doing. You always felt like somebody was looking over the shoulder. That was your conscience. You're about to get caught. David said, everywhere I went, I just felt the Lord's hand on me. Oh, it was heavy. He said, I'm tired of this. He says, I'm getting older because of this. He says, my moisture is turned to the drone number. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to acknowledge my sin. I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to have guile in my heart anymore. I'm not going to try to deceive anymore. And he says, here's my advice to you, verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. For thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held and with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 4. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Maybe today you're saying, you know, I don't have that spiritual joy. I come to church and I shake hands and I smile and I sing the songs, but they don't do anything for me in my heart. I don't know if my sins are really forgiven. I don't know if I'm still playing games and I have guile in my heart, but I want to be through with that today. But you know, there's one thing I'm afraid of, preacher. When I start confessing my sins to God, He's going to come down on me. You know, as kids, that's why we're afraid to confess things, isn't it? Man, I'm going to get a whooping if Dad finds out. You know, we don't have a Heavenly Father like that. Do you know that the punishment for your sin has already been paid? Jesus Christ took every beating imaginable and then He was nailed to the cross of Calvary. That's your punishment. Somebody else stepped in. Hebrews chapter 4, in case you're fearing, says this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You may say, I have to crawl on my knees towards God today, hat in hand, and I need to beg and plead and ask for His mercy. But friends, not only will you find mercy, not only will you find what you're looking for, He's also going to give you grace. Mercy says He's going to withhold the punishment. Grace says He's going to give you heaven. He's going to take away that which you deserve, and He's going to give you so much more that you don't deserve. That's the difference between mercy and grace. Listen, fear not coming to the Lord today. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is he who comes. David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Won't you come to Him today before it's eternally too late? Father, we pray that You'd help us. Father, for the Christian today, Lord, may they rejoice over the Scripture that we have shared. May it excite their heart to know that their sins are forgiven, that their sins are covered, that the Lord no longer counts sin to their account. They don't have to play games with God. Oh, Father, help us, each one of us, each child of God, to be excited about what God has done for us. Help us to have a passion for Thee. But Father, maybe there's some here today that have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. They might say, well, I'm trusting Jesus and my church. No, you trust Jesus Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. Maybe there's somebody who says, well, I'm trusting in Jesus and religion. No, He is the way. Trusting in Jesus and good works, no, He is the way. There's no other way. So Father, help each one of us here today to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads.